بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable Ulama, respected Huffaz, elders and brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin with the praises of Allah Rabbul Alameen, that Allah is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher, and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, leader, mentor, teacher, and our guide, Nabiya Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, we are currently in the months of Hajj, and coming to the culmination where Muslims around the world present themselves before Baytullah, and they have stood on the plains of Arafah fulfilling this great rites of Hajj. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qabil Allahu hajjak, one of the duas that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah, that when you meet a haji, when you meet a person who's coming back from Hajj, then make this dua, قَبِلْ اللَّهُ حَجَّكَ, Allah accept your Hajj. وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ, Allah forgive your sins. وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكَ, and Allah replace whatever you've spent on the journey of Hajj. And another dua also, that Allah forgive you, and Allah forgive all those on whose behalf you asked for forgiveness. So this is the two du'as that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught when we meet a haji. Now, respected elders and friends, the journey has been aptly referred to as the journey of a lifetime. And a person only receives one opportunity, and it is only obligatory once in a lifetime. And some people spend their entire lives eagerly awaiting their chance to travel to this holy land and carry out this obligation. Those who have not been, Allah make it possible for them to go, inshallah. Allah make the means for them to go, inshallah, to fulfill this great obligation and fard. And those who have the yearning to go, Allah take them again and again, inshallah. Amazingly, my friends, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed only one hajj. He only performed one hajj. And that also after it was made fard on the ummah. And he performed this hajj approximately 3 months prior to him leaving this world. And to be precise, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world 81 days after he stood on the plains of Arafah. 81 days after he stood on the plains of Arafah, he left this world and he only performed one hajj. SubhanAllah. So you can well imagine how much of his life was centered around the well-being of this ummah. That he only performed one hajj. That's another topic on its own. Furthermore, it was on this occasion that approximately 100,000 sahaba radiallahu anhum were present. And the advices that he had given on this occasion were extremely comprehensive. They were pertinent, and they were regarded as parting advices. And it is for this reason that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum named this Hajj the farewell Hajj. They named this Hajj the farewell Hajj. Now, if time allows me, inshallah, we'll touch on a topic or two, on one, two advices. And thereafter, inshallah, whenever Allah gives us the opportunity again. The first that he spoke on, and that really amazed me when I read about it last night. He spoke about the honor of a Muslim. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu addressed the people of the day of Eid al-Adha in a sermon, and he said, "O people, which day is this?" So the people replied, "It is a sacred day." The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then next asked, "Which place is this?" And they said, "It is a sacred place." Then the Nabi of alayhi wa sallam asked, "Which month is this?" And again they replied that it is a sacred month. So these were the three questions that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam posed to the Sahaba. Which day is this? Which place is this? And which month is this? And they all said it is an extremely great day, place and month. Now listen to these words of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Your blood, your wealth and your honor are sacred. That it is haram for a person to violate it upon you. Just like the sanctity of this day, and in this place of yours, and in this month of yours." And he repeated the statement a few times. The sanctity that a Muslim enjoys can be understood from this narration. Listen to this narration, my friends. It's an amazing narration. Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing tawaf around the Kaaba." He was performing tawaf around the Kaaba. And whilst he was performing around the Kaaba, He addresses the Kaaba. And he says, "How delightful are you? And how delightful is your fragrance? How great are you? And how great is your sanctity?" Imagine the Kaaba. Baytullah. When we just look at the frame of the Kaaba and we get excited. When we look at the frame of the Kaaba and it builds excitement in us. And we say, "Wow, Baytullah, Kaabatullah." Here the Nabi of Allah is directly addressing the Kaaba. He's making tawaf of the Kaaba. And he's saying, "How great are you? How great is the fragrance that emanate from you? How great is your sanctity?" By that being in whose control is the life of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sanctity of a believer in the eyes of Allah is even greater than you. Hay my Allah. The sanctity of a believer in the eyes of Allah is even greater than you. His wealth, his blood, and that you hold nothing but a good opinion of him. It is so unfortunate. It is so unfortunate and so sad. Let this word sink into your hearts. That the Nabi of Allah has regarded the sanctity of a believer to be greater than Baytullah. That Baytullah which was built with the hands of Nabi Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. But it is so sad and it is so unfortunate that today we look for every opportunity to do a Muslim down and take him for a ride. Every opportunity that we get, be it in the name of investment, be it in the name of money racketeering, whatever I can do to get that Muslim, to make him and to let him down, I am prepared to do it. I always say, if you can't do good to somebody, if you can't benefit somebody, don't harm a person. If you can't be a means of benefit to somebody, then don't harm anybody. And if you can't leave a legacy of good, then don't leave a legacy of evil. If you can't leave a legacy of good, then don't leave a legacy of evil. Every opportunity that a believer can find, he's selling you an item that is defective. In his mind, he's thinking, how can I make this person? Wa na'udhu billahi min thalik. He's taking a loan from you, yet in his heart, he's got no intention to pay back that loan. He's telling you that I'll pay you back at the end of the month, but in his heart and in his mind, he knows he's got no intention to pay you. My respected elders and friends, the honor has become so cheap that based on mere suspicion, we blacken his name and we tarnish his reputation. Broadcasting all sorts of lies, especially via social media, and the matter becomes even more serious when a person is an alim or a dini scholar. The second thing, in conjunction with this, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about extortion. He said, behold, do not oppress. Behold, do not oppress. Behold, do not oppress. The wealth of a Muslim is not permissible without his happiness. And there are many different forms of extortion. One form of extortion, extracting money from people against their will, occurs in the winding of a deceased estate, just by way of example. One or more of the heirs deliberately set out to deprive other heirs. Primarily in this case, we find the women are deprived of their fair share, which has been stipulated by the Sharia for them. Another form of extortion is where a person is in financial constraints and thus resorts to selling some of his items or his assets in desperation, knowing full that that person is in that situation. We will squeeze him. We happily squeeze him further by offering him an amount that is far below the value of that asset. Eventually, the person accepts as he is desperate. However, such a transaction, although valid, will never carry the barakah and the blessing agreed with an unhappy heart. And then, my friends, they are more subtle, sophisticated, and polished forms of extortion, which has unfortunately become socially acceptable. A few examples of these subtle, very polished forms of extortion. A bridal showers. You heard of bridal showers? The bride takes a shower like she never took a shower before in her life. Shame. Baby showers. Ya Kareem. House warming parties. So what extortion is this? Is the guest I expected to arrive with a gift in hand. And if the guest doesn't arrive, you came but you didn't bring anything. Those invited feel compelled to give a gift, even if it is difficult for them to manage. I'm not talking of the permissibility and impermissibility of it. There is no place for this in Islam. As arriving empty-handed will be a source of embarrassment and disgrace. Another form of extortion falls under when an employer exploits his employee and takes advantage of his plight by forcing him to do work which was not stipulated, or vice versa. Respected elders and friends, my ustad used to say that madhloom ban kar rehna, used to tell us in Urdu, madhloom ban kar rehna ziyada behtar hai zalim ban kar rehna. Rather be oppressed than be an oppressor, because the dua between an oppressed and sabayin Allahu hijab, there is no barrier. And if you are not going to pay for it, wallah, I sit on this minbar of my Nabi and I say, if you have oppressed anybody, sort it out now in this dunya. Because somewhere, some generation of yours will pay for it. Amr ibn Dinar, he says, a man from Bani Israel, he was once walking on the seashore. I'm just giving you one story. It's mentioned in the books of how oppression can take its turn. He says he was walking on the seashore when he heard a person exclaiming that I should serve as an example for a person who intends committing an act of oppression. When required to explain what he meant by this, he replied, this person is saying, remember the statement he said? He said, I will serve as an example for a person who intends committing an act of oppression. Use me as an example. So Amr bin Dinar asked him, that what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this statement? So he says, let me tell you my story. He said, I was once a policeman. I was a very senior, high person. You see, extortion generally comes, Allah save us, Allah protect us, very subtle from people who are in position of power. People who are generally in position of power, because they know they won't get caught, and they know the law of the hand will take a while to get hold of them. So it comes from people of power. So he says, I was a man of power. And one day I was walking on the seashore. Hey, my time is up. Can we wait next week, following week for the story? But in between, don't oppress. Inshallah, we'll continue with the story next week, inshallah. It's a very interesting story. He tells his whole life of how and what was the repercussions of that. And there are so many other points, but my time is up. Inshallah, we'll continue with the other pertinent advices that my Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave on this one hajj that he performed. Allah give me and all of the others the understanding, inshallah. One very important announcement, my respected elders and friends. Alhamdulillah, every week we contribute to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah reward one and all, inshallah. It's your contributions that make so many things happen in our community. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah for that. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, keep on giving charity. Why? Because it comes in between a calamity. It comes as a barrier between a calamity. So alhamdulillah, we have two boxes, you know, outside. One is the green box, that is for the masjid, for the madrasa, and for all the activities, the library, everything else that happens under the banner of the GMA that takes place. All that money that you give, alhamdulillah, is being spent for the upkeep and for the upgrade of this beautiful place that Allah is best. The other is a blue box, that is the sadaqah box, that alhamdulillah, which you give monies every week. And what happens with this is then hampers are made. Hampers are made with this, alhamdulillah. Hampers that, alhamdulillah, with a substantial amount, between 1,200 and 1,500, a hamper is prepared. Sometimes a health hamper is prepared. Sometimes a grocery hamper is prepared. Sometimes a meat hamper is prepared. And then this hampers are then distributed to people who are vetted and given to the local staff that are working here for us, alhamdulillah, given to the staff that are working around the different masajids in our area as well, alhamdulillah. So you see, I'm just telling you this so that you know where your monies are going, alhamdulillah, that it is being utilized well, it is feeding families, it is feeding people who don't perhaps have as much as me and you have, alhamdulillah, for that. So your contribution is being well utilized, it is being well prepared, alhamdulillah, on a weekly basis. About 20 to 30 hampers are prepared every week, and these are then distributed to staff, to the beggars. They are all vetted, and there is a system in place, alhamdulillah, for everyone that is receiving these hampers. As well as, don't forget those beggars that are outside also. That is why we say that rather give your money in the blue box, and then inshallah those beggars that are outside, they also receiving, alhamdulillah. They are also vetted, and in that way, alhamdulillah, your money is being spent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the monies, alhamdulillah, whatever is being received, every cent towards this feeding scheme that is continuing, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we have a system in place, everything is vetted, checked, balances, everything are done. So know that, alhamdulillah, every spend that you give towards the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being well spent and being well utilized. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly and continue to use me and you for the benefit of the ummah, inshallah. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh. الحمد لله إن الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا دواما وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الذي جعل الكعبة البيت الحرام مثابة للناس وأمنا وقياما ثم نشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين اعلموا أن مبنى الشرائر على تعظيم شعائر الله فمعظمها أربعة منها الكعبة يكفي لشرفها أنها أول بيت وضع في هذه الأرض هداية للناس وقياما لهم فجعلهم مباركا فالكعبة رحلة المسلمين أخبر ذلك سبحانه في قوله تعالى إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين وقال تعالى جعل الله الكعبة البيت الحرام قياما للناس فعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه قال أول بقعة وضعت في الأرض موضع البيت ثم مدت منه الأرض وفي رواية عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه قال خلق الله البيت قبل الأرض بألف سنة وذلك لما كان عرشه على الماء زبدة بيضاء وكانت الأرض تحته كأنه حشفة فدحت الأرض من تحتها أخرجه الإمام البيهقي أمة الإسلام الكعبة هي بيت الله العتيق بيت الله المحرم وإنما سماه الله البيت العتيق لأنه أعتكه من الجبابرة ولم يظهر عليه جبار قط ومن اللطائف كأن الحجر خاتما في الكعبة والكعبة خاتما في الأرض كما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتم في سلسلة النبوة والرسالة وهو أيضا خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صلوات الله وتعالى عليهم أجمعين فيا لكم من بشرى أيها الحجاج والمعتمرين بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبشر لكم بقوله من طاف بالبيت 50 مرة من طاف بالبيت 50 مرة خرج من ذنوبه كيوم ولدته أمه أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى بالإخلاص في أداء الحج والعمرة حيث قال وأتم الحج والعمرة لله وقال تعالى ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا نسأل الله التوفيق لما يحب ويرضى ورزقنا الله وإياكم زيارة الكعبة وإن يسعدنا جميعا بحج مبرور وعمرة مقبول آمين يا رب العالمين أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين إخوة الإيمان يقول الله تعالى مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد فيا له من تكريم لهذه الأمة إذا صليت على نبيها فصلاة الأمة على نبيها خير لأنفسهم ودواتهم لأنه يكفي لشرفه وفضله أن الله تبارك وتعالى يصلي عليه بنفسه فأين صلاة البشر من صلاة الله وأين دعائهم من ثناء الله فإنها من رحمة الله وفضله على هذه الأمة بدعاء نبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم لذلك لم يحضر بأحد من الأمة أن يقول مثلا نصلي ونسلم بل يحضر به أن يقول اللهم صل على نبينا وصلى الله على النبي وأمثال ذلك من صيغ الصلاة أفاده الإمام الصحابي رحمهم الله كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بها 10 اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذريته وارض اللهم عن أبي بكر وعمر وأثمان وعلي وعن سائر أصحاب نبيك من التابعين وتابعهم ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وارض عنا معهم بكرمتك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم وفقنا لصالح الأعمال ونجنا من الأهوال وبارك لنا في صالح الأعمال وصالح الأولاد والأموال ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين واغفر لموتاهم ونور على أهل القبور قبورهم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد أيد الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين آمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة. Brothers, let us ensure that our subs are straight, shoulder to shoulder with our hands in line, making sure that we fill in all the gaps. There is still place in the masjid. At the back of the masjid, the last two rows are still empty. Inshallah, let us try to come forward and fill in all the spaces, inshallah. Jazakumullah. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. الله أكبر ولله الحمد. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم صل على محمد آله وسلم تسليما. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم انصر المعفين في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.